Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 16th of November. First hour of our program today, the recall drive against Governor Scott Walker began at 12:01 on Tuesday. In this hour of the program, we're going to be talking about the effort to gather 540,000 signatures and force a recall election. The reason for the recall and the possible opponent, the unprecedented nature of this, what Ohio's vote meant for Wisconsin, if anything, if there's any correlation there or not. We're going to have three guests with us during the course of this hour, and I'm sure we'll have more than one phone call on the issue. Ted Rowlands will be joining us, assignment correspondent for CNN, and he is in Wisconsin covering this recall effort for CNN television. Kathleen Falk will be joining us, former Dane County executive, and her name has been mentioned as a possible Democratic candidate should the recall be successful. And Bill Krause will be joining us later this hour, veteran Republican political strategist and board member of Common Cause in Wisconsin. We'll be welcoming phone calls as we always do. Let me give you our phone number. It is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email address, if you'd like to use that this morning, is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And you can always keep the conversation going on our Facebook page. People sometimes write comments about what they have heard on the air, and we also can take those comments and put those on the air as well. And that is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and that's at Facebook. I still like Facebook. It's kind of fun. So that's what's coming up. Hour number one. It should be a very, very busy hour. Ted's going to be joining us momentarily. He had to file a report for CNN, so we're giving him another minute, and then he will be joining us. The second hour of our program today, we will be talking with Roberta Stevens, who is the American Library Association president, and she'll be reflecting on her year as president. She'll be talking about what's happened with libraries all around the country. They've faced quite a few budget cuts, the role of libraries in helping people find jobs, and how libraries have been changing and relating to a whole new world of computers and books online and all of that. So Roberta Stevens, who has managed the Library of Congress Bicentennial and the National Book Festival in her 26 years at the Library of Congress, will be talking about her time as president of the American Library Association. So that's what's coming up for the next 2 hours. And momentarily, we will be speaking with Ted. Ted Rowlands is a general assignment correspondent for CNN. He's based in Los Angeles, so he's here in the Midwest covering the news that comes from the recall. He has covered several high-profile criminal cases for the network, and he was a reporter in San Francisco before he went to CNN. He covered the award-winning CNN's award-winning coverage of the presidential election, reporting from several battleground states, including Texas and Colorado and Nevada. And he has served as bureau chief in California and began his broadcast career as an anchor and reporter. So he does have Midwest roots in Duluth, Minnesota, and yet another Wisconsin tie. He has a degree from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. So they sent the right guy to the state. And he is with us for the first part of the show. Three guests this hour. We start with Ted. Good morning, and thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah.
I also grew up in Madison.
Oh, you grew up in Madison, too. Well, for heaven's sake, they sent the right guy on this assignment, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, tell me how CNN is covering this. How extensive will the reporting be? How important is this story nationally, Ted?
Well, I think the story was obviously extremely important in February and early March of last year or this year, when you had all those crowds and the passion that was outside and inside the Capitol. That's what put it on the radar. But what now is so interesting is that this is very little really to do with Wisconsin in terms of national interest, and more about this epic battle, this war now between the left and the right, and the unions and the conservatives. And it really is playing out in Wisconsin, which is a great backdrop for it. but it has the national implications of this ongoing war. And I think that's the reason why people around the country are so interested in it.
Right. So tell me what you've covered in the last couple of days. Did you look at the pajama parties around the state? Did you try to gather how much enthusiasm there is for a recall?
Yeah, I didn't go to one of the pajama parties at midnight, but we got some affiliate feed video in from those, and we talked to several folks on both sides, and what's shaping up here is really a repeat of what we saw with the recall efforts earlier this year, and that is a ton of money coming in from both sides. For both sides from around the country, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. Obviously, Walker has the advantage of being able to bring in unlimited funds for a short period of time here, and he's obviously already started his defense of this recall with that ad that he debuted in a beautiful spot, the Packer game on Monday Night Football. I think most of Wisconsin saw that.
Right. And tell me about where the money is coming from. Are we ever going to know where all this money is coming, or has Citizens United changed the game so much that it's just unlimited money from unknowable sources?
Well, I think the actual tracking the money, you know, the old adage, follow the money and you'll get to the real story, is really where you know where you'd want to go. But it is so difficult. And the problem is you find out, you know, months, years sometimes down the line, really where the money came from. But if you use common sense here and you use what we already know about what has happened, it's the unions and it's folks like the Kochs. I mean, it's the big dollar folks on the right, the ones that are going to be supportive, even if they're not from Wisconsin. They're interested in this idea of destabilizing unions. And it comes back to common sense. Why destabilize unions? Well, because unions bring out not only voters, but they bring money in to typically Democratic campaigns. It's a huge advantage if you can destabilize them in future elections.
Mm-hmm. What about the amount of support that you've been able to gather as evident for Governor Walker? Have you seen rallies for him? Do you imagine that there will be simultaneous rallies from different sides of the issue all over the state as this goes on?
Well, one thing I think you have to be careful with is, you know, the folks that hit the streets and the folks that are supportive, they're sometimes two different things. And I think that, you know, and Walker's talked about the silent majority. There is a lot of support and a lot of people that support Walker that are not going to leave their homes and demonstrate or hold a sign up.
So yes.
I learned early on to gauge support by the number of people that show up in the streets is inaccurate. Now, the passion that showed up outside that Capitol building for days and days was shocking because it was from all walks of life. It was not only, you know, you could say the professional protesters from Madison, but you had families, you had teachers, firefighters, farmers. It was astounding what we saw there. So what I'll really be interested in seeing is how much of that passion we see now some 7-8 months later. Is the anger still there? Is the passion still there?
Mm-hmm. From somebody who's now reporting on this nationally and who grew up in Madison and went to school, do you see this as being a state that is much more divided than you ever recall growing up here?
Absolutely. I think that it's just shocking to see the division. Usually, you know, in Wisconsin, we get along pretty well with each other, and no matter if you disagree, you get along. But it's very strange when, especially coming back to cover this. I was living in California at the time of February. Now I live in Chicago, but I was shocked at the amount of anger on both sides, and it just doesn't seem Wisconsin-like, if you will. And I think a lot of that is the outside forces fueling this fight, continuing to stoke the fires because there is so much at stake for both sides.
Mm-hmm. And is the primary issue, do you think, collective bargaining issue, or is it also education? Is it health care? Is it all of those things, or is the spark collective bargaining?
I think from a national standpoint, the collective bargaining is in first place there because it has the implication of affecting other states. And I think unions the union support for the recall effort is clear, and that is to send a clear message to other governors around the country, don't do this or you're going to lose your job like Walker did. That's their goal here, because let's be honest, what's the upside here? You're spending millions of dollars for a recall, but you're not changing the math, if you will, and you can't change what's already been done because there's no referendum process in Wisconsin like there is in Ohio. So what's the end game here? Why spend millions and millions of dollars on this? I think it's to send that clear message. It's not to repeal the law because you don't have the numbers in the assembly to do that. So I think that the collective bargaining is the number one thing in terms of the national interest and, more importantly, the national fundraising efforts.
And what about the Democrats? Should the recall be successful, do you see the Democrats in this state as being very organized? Would it behoove them to come up with a strong candidate to toss around at least the name so that the Democrats would have somebody to run against the current governor? Are they in disarray?
Well, I don't know if they're in disarray as much as I think it's strategic. Why? You know, if you put out the other candidate, now the focus shifts against Walker, and it shifts now, well, do we really want this guy running the state? Do we want Cole in there, or do we want Barrett? If you put another name up there, it changes the dynamics a little bit, and I think they're probably holding off on that to ride this anti-Walker wave, tap into it, get the recall on the ballot, and then work from there. Unlike California, when we saw the other, there's only been two successful recalls, the other one in recent history, of course, 2003, where you had Arnold Schwarzenegger pop out right away. That fueled citizens of California to get the recall on the ballot. I think you have to go the other route in Wisconsin if you're a Democratic strategist. Use the anger, if you will, that's still alive against Walker, get the recall on the ballot, and then put up your candidate.
All right, let's take a call for you, Dan in Stevens Point. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Kathleen. Thank you so much for the show. I am a person who was out collecting some of the recall signatures yesterday. Here in Portage County, we had well over 1,000 people who signed, which I think is an amazing number for the first day. Yes, there were some union members who were signing because they believe that the right to unionize is a fundamental human right. But it wasn't solely about the unions, and it wasn't about his union busting either. There were people who signed for a variety of reasons, some because they don't like the idea of having a state controlled by the Koch brothers, who don't even live here. Others had one person come up and talk about the fact that Walker was unchristian and that he has no concern for the poor, with the poor being hit very hard by the various bills being put through our legislature now. And again, it's not just Christians. Muslims and other religions, Jewish religion as well, have an obligation to deal with the poor and to help the poor, and Walker is doing the opposite. He is helping the rich as much as he can. Even had some people who were Walker supporters who had voted for Walker and came up and said, I'm just amazed by what he's done. I had no idea he was going to do this when I voted for him. Last comment I have is that the comment was made earlier that this is not very Wisconsin-like to have this kind of friction in the state. And to me, this sounds exactly like what Wisconsin is like. It's a progressive state, people concerned about freedom and human rights and the welfare of one another, and doing all they can to preserve that, despite the tyrannical exercise of power by Governor Walker.
Thanks, Dan, very much for the call. Ted, you want to respond?
Well, I know that's a good point. It's a great point. Wisconsin is, if you look at the long history of Madison and the protests that have gone back over decades, so that's a very good point. Maybe it is Wisconsin-like to have this play out in our state, if you will, that because of the long history there and the willingness of Wisconsinites to entertain things. So I guess I agree with that caller on that level. And I think what's also interesting in that caller, what he was saying about what he was hearing, a lot of different reasons, but they all come back to Walker. So that idea that people were either disillusioned or frustrated or angry at Walker, that's what I think the Democrats are tapping into now, trying to collect these signatures, which is no easy task. 9,000 a day to get to that 540,000+ number is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Do you have any idea how many were collected yesterday, Ted?
I haven't heard. The idea that Portage County came up with a 1,000 would bode well for an early start. I mean, clearly they're going to have to build some numbers early on and on weekends,
yes,
at events like that. But I have not heard what the tally is, if you will, from day one.
All right. Well, have a rip-roaring good time in Wisconsin, sir.
Always.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Great talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ted, very much. Ted Rowlands, assignment correspondent for CNN, grew up in Madison, actually, and went to school, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and is covering the recall drive for CNN Television. Kathleen Falk will be joining us momentarily, former Dane County executive, and her name has been talked about as a possible candidate to run against Scott Walker should the recall be successful. So she will be joining us momentarily. And we'll continue with phone calls. Our lines are really crowded. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email is talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Falk joining us now, former Dane County executive. Kathleen, thank you so much for being with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. Do you have any idea how many were collected yesterday, how many signatures?
But what Ted was hearing from the citizen in Portage County, I am seeing everywhere, just in my own neighborhood. In a few hours yesterday, 1,000 signatures were handed in. I've never seen anything like this in my state that I love for 60 years. It is a really grassroots-driven recall. There are 75 groups that have sprung up all across the state to organize themselves, people just taking charge. When I walked into a restaurant yesterday to get a sandwich briefly, there in the middle of a restaurant was a table, a recall Walker table, just spontaneously sprung up in the middle of a restaurant. And I think yesterday when you saw the woman who actually filed the official recall papers with the State Elections Board, a woman from Fort Atkinson who I didn't know before that, she's a mom, she's a grandmother of 12.
Oh my.
She works in a small manufacturing plant. She's not a union member, and she has just devoted her life now to wanting to take back her state.
Why? Why is it so big? What's fueling it?
I think what's fueling it is that two things. One, Walker hasn't governed with Wisconsin values. He has made the wrong choices. So he's given huge tax breaks to large corporations and yet slashed public education. He has given more money to the corporations in which and has cut health care. And we're seeing the results come in. We're already seeing in schools about 3,000 less teachers and staff, and so that 9 out of 10 kids in Wisconsin have less teachers and staff in their schools. Those results are coming in. We see that 65,000 people are going to have less health care, less cancer screenings, and that half of them are children. These are not the values of Wisconsin, and Walker is not fighting for us.
You asked the question in a recent piece you wrote, what is Governor Walker doing about job creation? He has told us that he's been able to create more jobs and create a climate that is much more amenable to businesses already here and businesses who should come here.
Well, that's one of the many reasons people do feel that he has not been honest with them. He promised that he would create 250,000 jobs. And his own administration just a couple of weeks ago said they will fall far short of that, perhaps less than half, if things go well over the next 3 years. And things are not going well. Since he took office in January, the unemployment rate was 7.4%. It's now 7.9%. 213,000 of us are unemployed. And when you look at the recent session that just ended, that was supposed to be devoted to helping middle-class working people get jobs, what did Walker and the Republican legislature focus on? Reducing the amount of sex education in our classes, making it easier to discipline teachers. They're going to cause a lot more kids to be pregnant. It sure doesn't help anybody get a job. And people don't want 3 more years of a governor who's not fighting for them. Wrong choices, not Wisconsin values.
Tell me how you think this is going to play out in terms of money, Kathleen. Is money going to pour in on both sides? Are we going to start seeing it over the weekend with constant television ads? And what's the result of all of that? Does it create more divisiveness?
Well, you can't possibly create more divisiveness than what the governor did. He doesn't listen. He doesn't talk. He doesn't negotiate. And I think that fundamentally, again, is why people are so angry and say, we can't wait 3 more years. It began in the spring when the governor introduced his budget bill that rolled back collective bargaining rights that we've had for 50 years because he didn't run on that agenda. And so people feel that he was not honest with them on what he intended to do. But that hasn't diminished. For the reasons I just gave, he said he was going to try to fully fund education, yet the biggest cuts in education in our history. He was going to try not to hurt kids. 30,000 kids will not have health care. And so the divisiveness isn't created by TV ads. The divisiveness has been created by Governor Walker and the Republican legislature. And I'm sure I'm not unique in people being annoyed and maybe humored by the TV ads that are so out of touch with what they're seeing happening in their communities as a result of the Walker agenda. But I think what I'm seeing on the ground here with people of every walk of life, this Julie Wells from Fort Atkinson is typical of what I've seen in every corner of this state. People who haven't been involved in politics, who will not be swayed one way or the other by a 30-second TV ad, who see their kids' schools being hurt, their kids' health being hurt, and they're unemployed. And they want to take back their state.
Kathleen Falk is our guest, former Dane County executive, and we're going to take some of the many phone calls coming in. Rick in Sheboygan, hi.
Hi. I'd like you to speculate on the conspicuous quietness of Russ Feingold in the last 9 months and any role he could or should play in pointing Wisconsin in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, Russ is so fabulous, and I know that he's teaching at Marquette, and I think he has a teaching job at Stanford this spring. He's been here, he's been around, he's been helping, and I'm sure he will continue to help.
We go next to Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. It seems to me that it's come to the point where we're in a war, hopefully not a shooting war, but the key thing in a war is you got to look at your tactics. And we know the Republicans, whether we're talking about Walker here in the state or how the debaters have handled things or how the audience in the debate things have responded, their meanness is manifest. But we have to be careful that we don't, in our anger, emulate them in their behavior. And a couple things we ought to look at. One is that we don't want to go up to and picket Walker's house because I have my daughter who is a progressive found that offensive, and if she finds it offensive, there'll be other people that find it offensive as well.
Let's get a response on that. Was that over the top, Kathleen?
Well, you know, what I've seen since January, I thought has been an amazing, amazing civility on the part of people who feel so fundamentally in disagreement with Governor Walker. When you think of 100,000 people over and over and over again at the state capitol and the respect that people had for each other and opposing views, as I was up there, I would see much smaller but groups of people there with signs for Governor Walker's agenda. And standing literally feet apart from those who were holding signs against, nothing but respect and civility. That's the Wisconsin way. And so I think that's why people, again, feel so frustrated and angry is maybe the word, but are reflecting in a civil way about Walker's agenda. Just the very day after the Senate lost two Republicans in those recalls, Governor Walker promised he would be, quote, more bipartisan. That very same day, he signed into law the most partisan redistricting law that the state has ever seen. And so that continual display of power grabbing or arrogance, I'm trying to use civil words here, is what is fueling people into wanting a governor who reflects their values, does reach agreement with people and compromises and listens to people to move our state forward and to bring us together. in tough times, you want a leader that brings people together, not divides us, where neighbors aren't talking to neighbors and family members to family members. So I share the caller's wonderful point, and I think it's been, people have been very civil given the intensity of their feelings over the last 10 months.
But you would, to get to Jim's point, advise against demonstrating in front of the governor's home or not?
Well, the people in Milwaukee who live near that area, I understand it was respectful and people kept to the sidewalk. That is certainly the right, and it certainly hasn't been a daily occurrence.
Thank you, Jim, very much for your call. Sam in Madison. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Kathleen and Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Hi. This is what I'm wondering, or my comment is. So I think that the truth of the matter is that the state of Wisconsin has less money than it used to, and it wouldn't matter what party is in power. I mean, currently it's the Republicans, and they're making cuts which are unpopular with Democrats. If it was the opposite, where Democrats were in power, they would make cuts which are unpopular with the Republicans. So what I'm wondering is that instead of actually wasting our time in trying to recall a elected official, why can't both Democrats and Republicans sit down and actually agree on spending cuts which are acceptable to both the parties? Recalling Walker, in my opinion, isn't really helping, and I was wondering what your guests have to say about
that. All right. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. And I think, again, you are a typical person in Wisconsin that I know and love, which is, why can't people get along? They can. And that's what leadership is about, and that's what Governor Walker isn't doing. We expect a legislature that has both Republicans and Democrats to work together, and he has shown through his 10 months that he is unwilling to work with the other party. I know from my own experience how hard it is to balance a budget, and we all know the state is in tough fiscal times. But I can tell you it can be done a different way than he did. I was a county executive for 14 years. I balanced a budget every single year. I did it with working with 8 unions every single day for 14 years. Just in the last 3 years alone, I negotiated about $11 million in concessions, working respectfully at the bargaining table with those 8 unions in order to balance the budget. It can be done by negotiation and working with people. A second response is that we all know the governor inherited a tough budget because of these tight times. But what he told us he was going to do was to aim to fully fund education. He slashed it by $1.2 billion. And yet he gave a big corporation tax break as one of his first acts in office. So, again, it fuels the fact that while there was a tight budget to be dealt with, he chose the wrong values, and his actions were not what he told the public he would do during his campaign.
Joanne in Eau Claire, hi.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you to your wonderful guest. We have heard here in our area that it is likely that Republicans will ship in many, many out-of-state people to collect signatures ostensibly to recall Walker. Please be careful what you sign and read whose name is on those recall signature sheets. Make sure that those names are Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish and not the name of one of our virtuous Democratic senators. Please, residents, don't allow yourselves to be tricked by these people.
You think that's going to go on, Kathleen?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, only because we're seeing lots of roadblocks put up. I mean, it was almost 2 weeks ago that one of Walker's supporters filed a petition which triggered Governor Walker's ability to raise literally unlimited by law funds to defend himself in this recall process. So I don't know what we will see. I just know that people are focusing on getting those 540,000 signatures, a challenge, but I am totally convinced that we will do that over the next 60 days. But a caution well put by the caller.
Arlen in Green Bay writes, the Walker recall election could cost taxpayers well over $100 million. Do you think the state law regarding the reasons for recall elections needs to be changed to avoid these kinds of expensive recalls?
Well, certainly the email writer there is not talking about state dollars that are being spent here. And we've seen evidence that the recalls that happened last summer, when the Republican Party put up the fake candidates in order to delay the elections, alone cost $400,000 to local governments. So the new voter ID bill is estimated by the state agencies to cost about $4 million a year. So, you know, part of the point here is that people's frustration is that Walker's not spending their tax dollars according to their values, not the Wisconsin values.
Andrew in Marinette. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Andrew.
I would like to make a statement and then a question.
Mm-hmm.
My statement is, Governor Walker has, in my opinion, we have to remove him from office, and it's worth whatever the efforts are, because he took away our freedoms and rights. I'm retired. It won't affect me, but it will eventually affect my children and grandchildren. He's also done a lot of bad things to health care, and he's done a lot of bad things to taking care of our seniors. And when someone thinks that how you divide up the taxes, there should be some common ground. Well, unfortunately, because of our economy, for some, there's nothing to give. And the wealthy in the businesses, if they give a little, they won't even notice the difference. I mean, when people have drapes on their walls and curtains that cost more than the average home, asking them to give a little more wouldn't be too painful.
Kathleen?
I think you just summed it up, Andrew. And you're in the far north part of the state, but I've seen and heard people all across the state say exactly what you just did, and that's why I think that Governor Walker will be recalled.
What about this phrase that he used that you don't see much of anywhere, nationally or in the state or anywhere, and that's common ground? It seemed to me, Kathleen, that there is common ground, that we all have a certain set of values. We want good education. We want to be physically taken care of, et cetera. Why can't we find that common ground, and are we ever going to be able to do that again? These times are just really divisive.
We can, and that's what a democracy gives us. You know, I'm from Milwaukee and then grew up in Waukesha County, and we don't ask for much here in Wisconsin. We are a common sense. We just want a good education for our kids, some decent health care, clean air and water, and a decent paying job. We do not ask for too much. And so to have, when you're in tight times, to have a leader who is so divisive, who is pitting family member against family member, who's choosing big corporation tax breaks instead of funding for education and health care, who is not attending to the 213,000 of us who are unemployed. Wisconsinites know we can and need somebody who's fighting on our side and will bring people together and work on these problems that matter the most.
Mm-hmm. And finally, before we let you go and change guests, what about the idea that we are in a whole different economic time, that the governor has said this state is broke, it calls for radical solutions, these may be very tough, but we simply have to cut our belt in significant ways, including precious education, in order for us to carry forward. We just don't have the money.
Again, because people feel that's not what he said when he campaigned. He said he would do his best to fund as much as possible education, and while he cut it over $1 billion, he gave a huge corporation tax break that his own fiscal analyst said will cost us over $2 billion the next decade. So it is tight times, and he made the wrong choices on where to spend money. Tax breaks for the wealthiest versus education for our kids. And that's why people are frustrated and angry and want a governor who will bring us together and reflect Wisconsin values.
And what about you, Kathleen? Is your hat in the ring? Should this be successful?
We will have strong candidates. You know, my good friends like Tom Barrett and John Erpenbach, names that have been offered there, and or people who have said they're considering running. I'm right now concentrating on helping getting these 540,000 signatures. I will be open to considering it when we get that spot, but we will have a great candidate. But right now, we're focused on getting these signatures.
Kathleen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen, and all the listeners.
Kathleen Falk, former Dane County executive, and we're going to continue our conversation. We're talking about the recall efforts. They are underway right now, and we're getting a sense of how they're going in various parts of the state and what you think about it. It's only just begun. It's going to be a wild few months in Wisconsin, as if it hasn't already been a wild few months in Wisconsin. Bill Krause will be joining us in just a moment, veteran political strategist, Republican strategist. He did a lot of the work for former Republican Governor Dreyfus, and was his campaign spokesperson and strategist, I'd say primary strategist. He's a board member for Common Cause in Wisconsin, and he'll be joining us, Bill will, in a moment. Our phone number remaining the same, and we also have email. The phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. We also have a Facebook page if you want to leave messages there, and that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And I am Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Krause joining us now, and we'll welcome phone calls for Bill, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank
Good.
You.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm delighted.
Well, here we go.
Here we go. He's right.
Here we go. What's ahead, sir?
Well, I should give you an early disclaimer. I do not like government by recall as a policy, a process.
Uh-huh.
I'm with the Ed Cox School of Politics. He said, if you agree with me on 9 of 12 things, you should vote for me. If you agree with me on 12 of 12, you should go see a psychiatrist.
But we do have the recall.
We are going to have it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the momentum is such that it's going to happen.
Mm.
I think the history, the recent history was the Supreme Court campaign was a referendum on the Walker administration and its policy, its what it passed and how it passed it, and Walker won. And fundamentally, despite all the spin to the contrary, he won also on all of the subsequent recalls because the Democrats did not gain control of the Senate. So,
right.
And I'm from central Wisconsin, and so I get a lot of information from that area and from northern. And once you get 30 miles north of Madison, it, number one, is not a top agenda item.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an inside the beltway issue,
mm-hmm.
to a large extent. And they see a end of the structural deficit. They see a balanced budget on time. They don't see the double cross of the benefits change. They don't see that the union offered everything that the governor and the legislature got. So it gets, they're not paying as much attention as we are.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
So it's not as hot an issue, and a lot of money is going to be spent, and a lot of money was spent, and I don't think money played as big a role in the recalls as people expected. I think it really got to be pretty retail,
mm-hmm.
those elections. And I go back to my basic premise. This is not a good way to run a polarized, paralyzed government, and it'll only add to the paralysis.
So what's the best way to run a polarized kind of government? You just wait until the next election? How can you try and find some common ground?
You know, as I say to all these kids who are, many of them are my relatives, if you want to play this game, what you do is you run for office or you get somebody to run for office who you like. The people are in that office. The people put them in there. And if they don't like them, they'll get another crack at them. We're not going to be totally consistent, you should recall the whole assembly. Because now they're all eligible for recall.
Mm-hmm.
But is not widely known is that legislators don't like to vote. They like to introduce legislation. They don't like to vote on it. So they're always looking over their shoulder. Now they're looking over both shoulders mm-hmm. to see what's coming, whether they're going to be blindsided by the money, by the hatred. Things have gotten so toxic that you can't, people are walking away from participation in politics, and the system depends on people participating, taking a few, it's not beanbag, take a few knocks, but you don't have to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what just disturbed me so greatly.
I think about, and I admired him so much, Governor Dreyfus, a wonderful guy. How different his administration and who he was as a person, how different the candidates are now. What happened? What happened? Because a lot of people had great respect for him, no matter where you were politically.
Right. And that was true with Governor Knowles, who I also worked for. That was true with Pat Lucey.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Lucey and I have lunch together a couple times a month. We're great friends. I ran a campaign against him. But it never got personal. And I approved of much of what he did. And of course, he approved of much of what Dreyfus did. They were great friends. But this is probably unfair and probably oversimplified. But things began to go bad when two of the smartest guys who ever were in leadership positions in the history of the state were in office, Chuck Quala and Scott Jensen.
Hmm.
And it seemed to me that the focus then went to off of the ideas, certainly off of cooperation, into advantage. And they got their advantages, but I think that was the beginning of a decline in civility and even in friendship and mutual respect. You know, there was an arena effect in existence when all the time I was in government. It was like the football game. These guys kill each other for 60 minutes, and then at the end of the game, they come together because they're in the same business. They're in the same game.
Right.
So they respect what each other has done mm-hmm. to get to where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to see that go.
Yeah, there's no R-E-S-P-E-C-T around these days, is there?
Sure
yeah.
Let's... It's H-A-G-E.
Right. Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them. Randy in Key Wascom. Hi.
Hello. Basically what's going on here, you've got the big unions are pushing to get their power back. I mean, we hear about, they lost their collective bargaining rights. Well, I hear very little about the fact that while Jim Doyle was in office, they were basically given the key to the city. They were basically set up where they could set up their own contracts with very little oversight. I mean, I hear the Democrats talking about two classes. Well, the two classes are right now the public sector workers and the rest of us. Public sector, I'm a small business owner. I work my butt off. I have to buy my own insurance. I can't even come close to affording the kind of assurance that public sector workers have had given to them, and now they have to pay a little bit for, and they're screaming about it. The thing is, the union said, we will agree to these, paying a little bit of our health care and our pension. But when it came down to it, before this vote was taken and before this was put through, the union showed that, given a chance, they took no cuts whatsoever. They wanted theirs, and those of the rest of us out here should pay for it.
All right, Bill?
Well, I don't think... I don't. Many people disagree with it. The union, teachers' union particularly, went too far and too deeply and too strongly into politics, and they think so too, and they're paying a price for it. What they think is they're paying too big a price, and they have they cut the deal. They would have cut the deal. Walker would have cut the deal during the turmoil last winter. But nobody did it because you've gotten such animosity and such distrust that people can't, they don't talk to each other. They don't, Dan Burkholder is a very reasonable man, and he thinks that the union, he runs the union, he thinks it oversteps its powers when it had them. And he's willing to come back, but he can't get anybody to talk to. So that's, how are you going to run a government when you're in trench warfare? All you're doing is lobbing grenades at each other, and nobody is paying attention to the people in the middle. All we want is a government that works. And what we are getting is a government that fights.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Thanks, Randy, very much for the call. We do have a line open if you'd like to join us, 800-486-8655. We're talking about the recall effort now underway. Bill Krause, our guest this part of the show, veteran Republican, political strategist, board member of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Dan in Eau Claire, hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't have a problem recalling Walker if he's done something wrong. The problem that I have is that the recall discussion started right after he'd been elected, and he hadn't done anything either positive or negative. And everybody talks about all of these tax breaks. The previous guest that you had there mentioned it several times, but she didn't say what they were. She didn't say that the tax breaks are tax incentives for businesses moving to this area to create jobs. That part gets skipped. I just think that they want him out of there because he's a Republican, not because he's done anything.
Bill?
Well, I think Walker and Obama both have the same problem. They are going to have trouble living up, not to promises so much as expectations. The complaint is that Walker didn't say he was going to do this stuff, but the expectation was that he was going to do things that were not going to be very pleasant. And he's having trouble doing them, and they're not being particularly successful. What both of these guys are learning is that there's not a lot the government can do about the economy and about the market. The government is good at welfare. The government is good at infrastructure. It is clumsy at best at fixing an ailing economy or creating a new economy. So they're not delivering on expectations. And the punishment will be, if they are perceived as failures, they won't be reelected. And that's the way the system should work.
Don't you think, Bill, that the real spark for all of this was indeed collective bargaining? And you hear from a lot of callers and from people who say, public workers have got stuff that I don't have, and why should I pay for them to have good health insurance, et cetera. But it seems as though the whole rules of the workplace were changed for a lot of people, particularly teachers. We have to remember they demonstrated in huge numbers in Madison. And that I'm wondering if the governor could redo this, if he would have changed that somewhat, because people were deeply affected by that, and they are mad about it.
Oh, yeah. And that was the technique was a radical technique.
Yeah.
The deal always has been for public sector employees, and it's pretty much as true in the private sector, too, for people in businesses like I was in, the insurance business. You're not particularly at risk, but you don't make much money. So you pay them all, you get your pay in fundamentally, it's almost under the counter in benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody
that's
knows
the deal.
The deal.
You're right.
And so if you're going to compare how public sector and private sector people are doing, you have to compare the whole package, not just benefits or not just wages. Put the whole thing together and say, okay, who's got the better deal? And I think you'll find out that they're about equal.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Republicans did is they said, that deal is off. And they took away half that part of the deal. And they outraged these people.
Mm-hmm.
And with good, it was such a shock to what they had expected and what they had negotiated. So they set off a reaction, a counter-reaction, that has now gone into the philosophy of governance.
Yeah, and on that note, we have to say goodbye. We're out of time. Okay. Bill, thank you. We'll be in touch.
Okay, Kathleen,
yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. That means he'll answer our phone call. That's good. Bill Krause, veteran Republican political strategist, board member of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for getting all the phone calls and answering all the phone calls. And thanks for the phone calls and for listening.